Hare Krishna, this is Anugrah Swami.
Hare Krishna.
Good. Okay. I didn't know it was Christmas.
I know. I'm cooking Christmas dinner as I'm listening.
Okay. So if the pots rattle, you'll be the rascal. Okay. Okay. Good. I'm pretty happy with your eagerness to hear. So, today it's Christmas here in Vrindavan, and it's funny, when I grew up I never celebrated Christmas until I got in Vrindavan, because there's a very, very, I'll tell a story after I begin, but okay. Reading from the Madhya Lila, chapter 14, text 47. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ihan Jagannath Tera Rakta Chalana Samai Gaura Shabha Rakta Tane Agina Hayai. Outside the garden, when it was time to pull Jagannath's car, all workers called goaters tried to pull it, but it would not move forward. Omiganatimirandasya Gananjana Tilakaya Taksurindrasamyena Kasmai Sri Gurudeva Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Yapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadatita Padantitam Pancha Kalpa Tulubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Vrindavan. Now I'll tell you how I celebrate Christmas in Vrindavan. But first, I have a Christmas outfit, which is green, red, and white. And here's the goal. What happened is I give class in my house at Giriraj Swami's place. And I live in a cul-de-sac, those of you that know. And in the cul-de-sac, in the middle is kind of the house of Bibi Govinda Swami and Shivram Swami. It has a huge garden, so it's almost like the garden and all the houses are around that. So I'm on the second floor of Giriraj Swami's place. I did kirtan. There was this old lady who lived across the road, across the way, and she would always hear the kirtan. And very interesting lady. Her daughter's in Vrindavan and her granddaughter's in Vrindavan. And she's in her 80s. And she even saw the tragedies of World War II when the Germans marched into Russia towards, what is it, St. Petersburg and the war. She saw so many things. Her father was an Orthodox priest, something like that. And so she really always wanted me to come over for prasadam. And she sent a message, because there's a lot of European, Russian devotees in Vrindavan. And she sent over a message. And I went to her little simple, humble abode. It's just one simple room on the bottom floor of this larger house, about six apartments. Very, very simple, has all these beautiful pictures of Krishna. And she can't walk very well because she's so old, but she knits for her deities. And all the deities, she has so many little deities, have the most intricate sewn cloth hats and every little thing she has. And she's blissful. Very, very blissful. Because she was so much. She has 9 or 10 children. But she just comes to Vrindavan, was supposed to die. That was about 10 years ago. So somehow Christmas is her birthday. And, I mean, it must be hundreds. All the Russian devotees go to her because I guess she's like the matriarch and very sweet. She has a daughter here and a granddaughter here. So she insists I come over on that day to take darshan of her deities. And she makes soups and breads and things like that. So I'll do that today. Disciple of Indrajumna Swami, very sweet lady. So we're in this wonderful pastime teaching it every day down here in a place that many nice people come. And it's so wonderful that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Puri to try to taste what he's try to experience what he's come to taste, try to achieve what he's come to attain, which is the topmost ecstasy of the mood of Srimati Radharani, the topmost devotee of him, of Krishna, at the height of her experience of prema, which is her mood of separation. And he joins the Jagannath Rath Yatra, which is a pastime, the essence of which is that sentiment which Radharani tastes. And he enters into the kirtan, and he enters into the lila, and he incredible kirtans go on, and prayers, and the flowing of the ocean of rasa. You really get a vision of the spiritual world. The spiritual world, the spiritual world, the ultimate reality is God's lila or pastimes, which means the exchange of the Shaktiman, the source of all energy, and the Shakti or Zenergy. That exchange is called lila or pastimes. And those pastimes are the ultimate reality. And when we become free from illusion, we swim in those pastimes. Or when we hear those pastimes from the proper person in the proper mood, we also swim in those pastimes. And the way to attain that ocean of prema is this process of hearing about the devotees who are experiencing it. So we've been every day just diving into this wonderful pastime and seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the process of non-sankirtan, which is the process to enter into the lila or pastimes of the Supreme Lord. His ecstasy rises, his meditations well, and he enters deeply into the mood of Srimati Radharani. And finally, the kirtan stops at Jagannath Vallabha Gardens and varieties of foodstuffs, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu collapses in ecstasy. And then we've seen that a very wonderful point, that to really perform devotional service, to really perform pure devotional service, I would say, you need the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you can attract his mercy by your humble service. This is the key to spiritual life. If we want to enter the pastimes of Krishna, Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Maharaj, said, you cannot trespass on the harem of Krishna. You need to gain entrance from above. You need to gain entrance from a flow of mercy. And that flow of mercy comes to one who has the mood of humble service. If we want to achieve something in devotional service, we have to cultivate that mood. And that mood of humble service will allow Krishna to flow through us as we will become an instrument of Krishna's mercy. So King Prataparudra performed humble service. There's some little clicking there. Just everybody make sure that you mute your phone. Okay, thank you. So he's performed this service, and that service activates the Supreme Lord. It attracts the Supreme Lord's Kripa Shakti, which is in the heart of the devotee, that humble service. And King Prataparudra, although he was the king, I keep on hearing something. Even though he was the king, he sweeps the road. He sweeps the road. And somehow or other, even though he's the king, Vishayi, which is the object, the enjoyer, the king, to do his service, he has to accept the accoutrements of power. And the sannyasi distances himself traditionally from the accoutrements of power. And therefore, the king is unfortunate because due to the service he has, his service in the society, he cannot get the direct association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then we see the mercy of the devotees that he's instructed to, that he should just change his dress. And while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhausted, go into the garden and humble King Prataparudra. He begs some from the Vaishnavas, ask their permission. He goes into the courtyard and he begins to massage the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's some kind of clicking on the other side. I don't know if everyone has to learn the art of muting their phone, because it's real distracting when you're trying to. Okay, I think I accomplished what I wanted. Thank you, whoever did that. Nope. Maybe it's me. Okay. Anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he's massaging his feet, and he begins to chant the Gopi Gita. JBK become, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes into higher states of ecstasy. And when he reaches the fifth verse, I believe it is, which is so beautiful and so attractive, I believe it is one of the verses that attracted Sukadeva Goswami to return to hear the Bhagavatam after he had left the womb of his mother to the forest. And what a sweet verse. Tavakatam yatam tapta jivanam kavibir iditam kaumasapaham shavalamangala shrimaratitam bhuviganantiye buridajana. This kata is such nectar. It's the gives life to the living entity. is glorified by the greatest poets. It destroys all simple activities. It's hearing it is auspicious, and those who do it are the greatest welfare workers. And we know that King Prataparudra, just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just becomes so happy that he and blesses King Prataparudra. So we see that this is Gaur Lila. There's a unity in Gaur Lila because everything is activities and emotions to create the highest love and pleasure. And we get a vision of that highest pleasure by these processes of Krishna consciousness, which, like a magnet, draw out the nature of the soul, which is to love God. And only when our heart is filled fully with devotion will our heart feel harmonized and satisfied. And not only harmonized and satisfied, but it will feel great pleasure. So we're seeing this and this wonderful pastime. And then after all the devotees are so happy to see that, then King Prataparudra gets a vision. This is the second time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given him a vision of his divine opulences. And he's giving a vision of his divine opulences, not just to create awe and reverence in him, but to invoke the highest love. Because when the object of your love, even of intimacy, displays some greatness or some achievement, it just nourishes your particular love for that person. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests and shows it his divine nature. And everyone is so happy for King Prataparudra because in the spiritual world, in a real society of devotees, there's no sense of becoming the enjoyer and controller. And therefore, one is not unhappy to see one achieve something even greater to them. This is the nature of a sadhu. This is why even a great sadhu, it says in the Sadhu Swami Astakam, Dira Dira Janapriyo Priyakaro Yamatsaro Pujita, that he's not envious of anyone, and therefore he's appreciated by all, even the gentle and the ruffians. The ruffians mean people who are aggressive, and they're aggressive because they want to dominate and control. They're filled with material consciousness. But when they see a sadhu, they're not fearful because they see that sadhu is not in this world of competition, and therefore does not want to either take away what they have or to get more than them. So sadhu is always generally very, very welcome, even wherever he goes, gentle, ruffians, etc. Nature of the sadhu. When you have a society of sadhu, there is no envy. And when one achieves by the standard of Vaishnava society is spiritual advancement. And when one sees that someone is a receptacle of mercy, they become very, very pleased. So all the Vaishnavas are very, very happy that someone has achieved something very, very wonderful. I'm quoting often, but very profound things he says. Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, beautiful statement he made. He said, the greatest hypocrisy is when you see someone else get some mercy in whatever way. He gets some favor from the saintly person, or he's not punished in the way he should be punished, or he gets some great material opulence, and where we're struggling. And he said the greatest hypocrisy is to look at that person and say, oh my gosh, he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve that, meaning that's mercy. He doesn't deserve that, meaning that that's mercy. Why is the great hypocrisy? Because in our forlorn and distressed condition, we are always praying that we get mercy, that the Lord's grace descends on us beyond what we're capable of. So that's hypocrisy, to want something for ourselves and not want it in others. So it's so beautiful when I read Gaura Lila, I hanker for that, and I hope I can become a participating member in that, to actually create a Vaishnav Sangha, to create an association where everyone only wishes the best for others and is not seeking anything for themselves. They just want service. So Vaishnav Sangha is a very, very special, wonderful thing. And we see this Vaishnav Sangha. Even I believe, I forgot the pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was once testing some of his associates. He glorified one particular one. And he saw how the devotees pass the test. They become more and more happy, more and more. It's a fact. We know ourselves. Sometimes you see when you're doing something good, you can just look and subtly feel, that person is not rooting for me. He doesn't want me to be successful. So the sweetness of the Vaishnav Sangha, and part of the sweetness of a real Vaishnav Sangha is the participants' focus spontaneously and intentionally on the exchange of love between the members. And in the Upadeshamrita, it's explained what those exchanges of love are. Dadati pitagrinati guyam atyakshi pichyati bhunte bhojyate chaiva. It's giving gifts and accepting gifts. Wonderful. Giving gifts and accepting gifts. There's one very nice Vaishnavi in Vrindavan. She was also in Mayapur. Very substantial person. Spread the holy name all around Bengal. Mother Srimati. And when we go to Puri, and she's at Puri, all the time devotees are getting gifts. She's always giving gifts. Because she's a loving Vaishnav. And you get a little bag, and she sewed together these little jeweled little boxes, maybe five or six of them. And in those little jeweled boxes are different dirt from holy places in Puri and sacred places, and there's little bottles with sacred water also, like giving gifts and then graciously accepting them. That's also love. To graciously accept something is also love. I remember one time I took these people from New York. They're only here for one day. They just flew in for one day. They were going on vacation, not devotees. And I took them around. I met them at 10, and I dropped them off at 8 at night, and I did my best, and the man just gave me 10,000 rupees. And my initial response was, well, I don't really do this for money. I'll give it to the cows. But then I thought about it. I actually spoke to Satchinandana Swami, and he said, no. He said, when someone gives something, you should humbly accept it as their mercy. Yeah. In other words, acknowledging love is also love. So you give and you accept. Gati Kupadrinati. We should do these things. We should consciously think of rich devotees. We should to inquire in confidence. We should develop that. If we have something on our mind, call a friend and ask them, and they'll feel your love, actually. Call them. I don't know what to do in this particular situation. Vaishnavas are very, very expert at cultivating very deep relationships. And then the person will explain and give an answer. He'll explain in confidence and bhute bhojyate chaiva to give prasad and accept prasad. That's very wonderful in showing separation from Srila Krishna Maharaj, because almost more than any other person, he helped to bring ISKCON, in one sense, out of a corporate structure by, you know, always hosting Vaishnavas and Dry Brothers and other people and exchanging prasad and inviting people to prasad. Because this is Gaur Leela. Gaur Leela is not just a corporation or an army. And the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not be fulfilled just by a corporation or army, although those aspects are necessary to spread Krishna consciousness and distribute the mercy. And we've been recipients of that type of organization. But its real mission won't be achieved until there's a Vaishnav society where people know how to exchange love in these six types of ways. And it adds to the rasa. And therefore, when you see the perfectionist state in Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela, there's always prasad, especially Gaur Leela. So after King Prataparudra receives the mercy of the Vaishnavas and therefore receives the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he arranges the most exquisite prasadam for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees. There's descriptions of it. I'm not going verse by verse because I just lectured for a week. But beautiful descriptions of the most lush fruits and these fried creams and these various types of sweets. And then the Vaishnavas are sitting down to this feast. And who wants to serve it? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because the feast is not just about gluttony or hedonism. It's the cultural manifestation of how people express their hearts to each other. And therefore, serving is such an important thing. I know Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj, Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj, Mayapur, you know, he was explaining to me in terms of that even if there's two people, one person will serve. One person will serve. Always to increase the exchange of love. Because when you're eating a feast, it's so wonderful. You're tasting the love of the devotees for Krishna. And then you're tasting the love of the devotees for the devotees, because the feast was cooked and offered to Krishna with the intention to share the remnants with all the Vaishnavas. And then a devotee wants to distribute it out of love. They want to increase the emotional experience of taking prasad. I would love, you know, sometimes going in Vrindavan, being invited to different prasad by Vaishnavas, and to be infused that the way it was taken in such a sattvic way. Everything was served so nicely. No one would take until the senior man took. Everyone would take together. They would leave together. And you really, in that kind of setting and exchange, you feel something so much sweeter than just the luscious and wonderful tastes of the variety of prasadam. But you taste the sangha. of the Vaishnavas. You taste the association of the Vaishnavas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore wants to serve, because Vaishnava means for others. But the Vaishnavas, they don't want to just enjoy prasad. They can't enjoy unless they see first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They want him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to sit down. And then all the devotees take prasadam, and then the prasadam is distributed to everyone. The mercy is not limited by... mercy in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is not limited to position. Conception. And the beggars were there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeding them. And due to their humility, they were transformed immediately by the prasadam. Ecstatic symptoms of love of God were awakened in their heart, because that social position made them very humble, and therefore in that humility, their experience of mercy was greater. The greater your humility, the greater you feel, I do not deserve, the greater will be your experience of the mercy of God. And with that type of consciousness, you can fully access spiritual phenomena. Spiritual phenomena is very, very powerful and potent. But as potent as it is, pride can prevent us from experiencing it, even being in the midst of it. Just like if you want to light something in fire, and you take a rag and you dip it thickly in water, then the fire will not have an effect. So if you take your consciousness and you soak it in self-entitlement and pride, you will not experience the mercy of God. But if one is humble and in the right mood, then so much effect will be there. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw one of his disciples with Jagannath Prasad, he would pay obeisances and circumambulate him to honor that prasad. We know in the story of Narada Muni that all his sinful reactions became destroyed simply by taking the prasad offered by the devotees. Why? Vinavatsala. They are kind to the poor. That's how he made his advancement, not by his brahmagyan, not by his austerity, although he was so self-controlled, disciplined. I was very impressed by that. But that's not how he got the mercy. He got the mercy because he was humble. He was in a very humble position. And internally, that helped him to cultivate the mood that I am dependent on others. I'm not dependent codependent, but he's dependent. He saw his dependence on God. He wasn't an illusion about his dependence on God. He saw that he's helpless without God. And we sometimes only get to realize that at the moment of death. Oh, yes, okay, now, oh, I understand now I'm not the controller. Yes, I don't want to die, and Krishna's taking away my body. I don't want to die. Let me stop it. Let me get treatment. Let me do this. Miracle cure. God. Someone like Narada Muni, he was already in that state. That's what sannyasa is supposed to be, dying while living, meaning giving up your ego, your false ego, and your attachments, which is the real death when that is proven to you, if you're attached to the body. So humility. And then for these beggars, so forlorn and distressed, and when they got the feast of this opulent, beautiful items, from, they were feeling, oh, wow, Yahika, such mercy. I don't think they said wow, but so what? Such mercy. And then in humble humility, they honored the Prashad and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Habibu, Habibu, and an ecstatic love of God awakened in their hearts. Now, in the verse that we are today, they're not yet at, we have a little more time. They're not yet at Gundicha. Gundicha is Vrindavan. And as you remember, the whole mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Rathyatra is union with Krishna, which means Krishna in Vrindavan. So without any external formality, God can reveal his intimate nature as a friend, as a son, as a lover, which he can't do outside of Vrindavan. And that's Krishna. Krishna's Akila, Rasa, Amrita, Murthy, the full embodiment of relationships. Same person. But when he embodies or is in an environment and with the people that allow him to be himself, Swayam Bhagavan, he's the original personality of God. It's Swayam also means himself. When God is himself, that's the original manifestation of God. So, Radharani is in separation from that manifestation of God, and that's called Krishna. And therefore, this whole mood is taking them back. So now, the cart begins, they want to take the cart again because they stopped at this place, forgot the name of the place, where again, in offering of love, they were able to offer everyone, the garden on the cart, around the cart, every home is just cooking in love and devotion, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai, and they all brought all this food around, and then it was taken and distributed. Okay, and then here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is appreciating, now the cart's beginning to roll, and it doesn't move. And these gopis, they're very powerful servants of Lord Jagannath, and they specifically are meant to pull the cart. They're pulling, and then they cannot move, because our understanding is Jagannath is not just wood. Jagannath is wood, receptacle of wood, that transforms into God. That God actually appears there, manifests there, and Jagannath is God. And therefore, as the Lord of the universe, he moves by his own will. This is the conception of the deity. It's a science. The right receptacle and the right prayers, then Krishna appears. Just like the post office box, you paint it the right way and you get the right authorization, then that box is beyond its red, white, and blue colors. That box has the power of the government. That box is the government. And similarly, a deity form, when it's the right form, and the right authorization, then God himself appears. And therefore, God can do what he wants. That's the definition of God. He can do whatever he likes. He has all power. And he likes to enjoy lila or pastimes. So it's time to pull Jagannath, the cart. They were pulling and pulling and pulling, and the cart did not move. And then the king, Pataparuja, he called some of the wrestlers. Wrestling is an indigenous sport of India, Vaishnava sport. And some of the wrestlers began to pull and pull and pull and pull and pull. They would not move. The king didn't know what to do. He called the temple. He got the temple elephants, and the temple elephants were chained to the carts. And the carts would not move, and the people in charge of the elephants were beating the elephants. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The carts would not move. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this. He got behind the cart and put his head to the cart. And his devotees told him to get the ropes. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to push, and the wheels of the cart began to rattle. The wheels of the cart began to rattle, rumble. And the devotees, they were just holding the ropes in their hand. They didn't have to exert any effort. And everyone was astonished. Everyone was appreciating. And the rasa continued because of bhuta, astonishment. Astonishment is an indirect rasa. It's an expression of your particular love for someone when they do something supernatural. And you become astonished, and it's such a wonderful feeling that the astonishment seems like it's the experience itself, but actually what the experience of astonishment is the indirect experience of your friendship for the person who did the supernatural deed, or your conjugal love for the person who did the supernatural deed, or your parental love for the person who did the supernatural deed. So the astonishment. And they're experiencing their love in their different types of relationships for Krishna began to manifest and heighten. And the cart rumbles, and then finally it gets to Grindicha. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now relieved because Krishna is in Vrindavan. And the flow of praying that he came to experience is just flowing that embankment now of union, which was fortified by the embankment of separation, of the long Jagannath Ratyatra card, of the mood of anticipation of bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, and the separation that Srimati Radharani felt for Krishna being outside of Vrindavan. And now he's back in Vrindavan. And in the next class, what we will experience is because this chapter is the performance of the Vrindavan pastimes. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Vrindavan. He's in the mood of Radharani, and because Krishna is in Vrindavan, Grindicha is Vrindavan. That's why that's the essence and meaning of the Rathyatra, that Krishna in Puri is Dwarka, and they're taking him back to Vrindavan. How wonderful. Now he's in Vrindavan. And we'll see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is relishing in Gudicha, and near Gudicha, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is staying there now, or staying in the area, how much he's relishing the mood of Vrindavan Bihar, Lila, the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. The mood is relieved. Now he's feeling some union. And so, very deep. God is becoming complete by taking on the sentiments of his best devotee. And in doing so, in achieving that, because God comes, he doesn't have it. Because love of Godhead is in the heart of the devotee. So even God has to attain love of Godhead in the way we have to attain love of Godhead. He has to have guru. He has to have instructions from the Vaishnavas, and under their guidance, he has to do kirtan with some bandha, with some sense of relationship, and chanting and dancing and offering prayers and sangha of the Vaishnavas and exchanging love with them, especially by accepting and giving prasadam. We see the process in a accessible manner, because these activities are activities that we can adopt now. And this is Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti means you follow the residents of Vrindavan. And by following them, you attain the sentiments for which you covet. And how do you follow them? Well, very simply, the residents of Vrindavan are doing kirtan. And they're doing kirtan in a mood of glorifying the prince of Vrindavan, the lord of Vrindavan. And we do kirtan with that aspiration, with those prayers, we do kirtan. But humbly understanding that our kirtan is a sadhana. It's a practice to attain a particular type of bhav or devotion. While the kirtan of the residents in the Vrindavan is a sadhya. It's the result of a particular consciousness. But still, we follow in a humble way. So this Gaur Lila is very wonderful because it gives us a padati, a process by which we can attain the highest love. And, of course, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did, we hear the pastimes of our beloved Lord. And we have the special dispensation that we can do that through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is meditating on Krishna Lila. We see, what is the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's meditating on Krishna Lila. And therefore, we meditate on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when you meditate on someone, you just don't meditate on their form, you meditate on their heart, which is expressed in their words, which is expressed in their actions. So by meditating on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're coming in contact with his glorification of Vrindavan and his actions of chanting and dancing. So this meditation is very, very nice. And as I said in the purport, you cannot stress it enough, humble service. You have to make yourself malleable to the will of the Lord. You have to give up the false ego and let yourself be used by the Lord. No matter how austere or learned one is, he will not be able to experience prema bhakti unless he surrenders to the will of the Lord and allows the Lord to use one as his instrument. And someone who even is not very austere and filled with material desires and struggling with his mind, if he becomes humble and surrenders to the will of the Lord, then despite his disqualifications, the Lord's energy will use him in a very, very wonderful way. And by that humble service will open up a conduit to the Lord's mercy to achieve the objectives of devotional service. So we're going to see this, and then we'll see the most wonderful thing, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Vrindavan at Grindicha, sporting in the water with his friends and meditating on the highest things in that loop. Okay. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna. Hi, Krishna. My question is about the secondary rasa. Secondary rasa, today you mentioned astonishment, you know,
yes.
And normally you talk about the laughter or the humor, but in either case, I still find it difficult to understand your language when you talk about it as the secondary rasa seeming like the relationship. That's one thing.
Did you say seeming like the relationship? What did you say?
That the secondary rasa, you know, having the appearance of being the primary relationship, you know, like...
It doesn't have the appearance, but if you're joking with friends,
yeah,
you're experiencing friendship. If you're joking with the opposite sex, you're experiencing conjugal love. If you're joking, you know, you don't joke with the parents in that way, but when it's an appropriate relationship, then you experience that relationship through that sentiment, and it becomes like that.
Okay. Yeah, if you put it like that, I understand it. But,
okay.
When you're talking about the astonishment, yeah, how is astonishment an expression of love?
It's not an expression of love, it's a feeling of love. Because, just listen, it's an expression of love. It's a feeling of love because, there's two things in love. One is the desire to serve, and the other one is the feeling of attraction. So it's the feeling of attraction. When you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do something so wonderful in astonishment, you become astonished, and the astonishment is imbued with the feeling of your love and attachment for your object of devotion who's done something so wonderful.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Merry Christmas to Joe and the family, okay?
Thank you. I'll pass it on.
Okay, pass it on.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Govardhan, I just spoke to your wife a few minutes ago, right before the class. She's going to Nandagam in Bharatana. She arrived in Vrindavan, and she just wanted to let me know that she's here. And Dina Bandhu is going to be taking her and all those. Perhaps I'll see you tonight. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? A lot of people are traveling to relatives. One more person? Okay, then we will end for today. And Hare Krishna, Merry Christmas. Glory to the Baba, Venture Kulta Kulubhya Shakya Kulta Sindhu, Vaya Vichyaka Vipara 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 Vipara.